that track was, Russell?
That was the Scissor Sisters, I Can't Decide.
Then, and why are we playing that?
Because the master danced along to that.
Yeah, and we've just listened to, before that, Derek Jacobi as the master, just before he became John Sim. Yeah. In case you're confused by what we're talking about, you're listening to Who on Who? With me, David Tennant, and Russell T. Davis. That's the title. It's Who on Who? Question mark.
That's clever.
Do you see what they've done
because
there?
Because you're Doctor Who, yeah, and no one knows, yeah, who I am.
I don't quite know how to say it, though. I suppose I have to. Who on Who?
Who on Who?
Yeah.
Who on Who?
You're listening to Who on Who? So, yeah, in that story, Utopia, Russell, you brought back the Doctor's nemesis, the Master.
Mm-hmm. And he's back again this Christmas.
Exactly, yeah. Now, it has been said that you once claimed you would never bring the Master back to Doctor Who.
Yes.
Did you do that categorically? Did you say that?
I probably did. You just probably depends did. What mood I was in that day. Yeah. Probably. Actually, he's the one I took longest. Maybe at the time I meant it, because it took me a long time to work out how to do the Master. Mm. And also it took a couple of years on the programme to work out, you know, it was all new at the beginning. If we were in the first year of Doctor Who and we brought back the Daleks and that hadn't worked, I would have sat there going, right, let's never bring anything old back.
So when you said you weren't going to bring him back, you weren't necessarily lying at the time. You just
No, that's probably genuinely how I felt at that point.
You have always been quite happy to obfuscate
absolutely
to the press and the outside world about what may or may not happen.
It's part of this game we're in, isn't it? Of
like, you know, did that take you by surprise, how big a part of the job that was and how difficult, I suppose, the amount of attention it got? Did that take everyone a bit by surprise?
I suppose, yes. Well, I mean, as a symptom of success, the success took us by surprise. And it's sort of inevitable once you're successful, everything else comes with it. I think I was very, very lucky in that I'd been through Queer as Folk, which is a drama I did for Channel 4, which had, I was sitting in these very same studios talking endlessly to every radio station in the country about that. Actually, that part you were making earlier about how horribly visible I am. You were kind enough to leave out the word horribly. But that started with Queer as Folk because that had so many issues and proper political debates inherited it. You couldn't leave the cast to debate that. It wasn't up to the actors to talk about the age of consent. And, you know, they weren't expert in those subjects and there was no need for them to be. So it was one of those shows where I had to step up to the plate and go up to the microphone and say what I think, and I've never left. I won't leave. Keep this microphone with me at all times.
But how hard have you found that kind of evolving relationship with the press, or have you enjoyed that game?
It's like playing with a tiger, isn't it? It's dangerous it's dangerous to relax, go, ha-ha, here we are in an interview and it's all going to be easy. One wrong thing and suddenly, I don't care what happens to me, but if the papers take against you and Doctor Who gets branded as soiled or dirty or wrong in some way. I remember when the whole Russell Brand and Jonathan Ross thing was kicking off, and it was at the same time, that sort of round about the same time, that Matt Smith was being announced, I think. And there were like 57 people dying to make jokes on the production team in interviews about, oh, well, why don't you cast Russell Brand as the new Doctor? Yeah. And actually, we put up really clear borders saying, don't make that joke, because don't even associate Doctor Who with that world of trouble. Mm. You know, never mind that world of trouble, whether it should have been trouble or not, that's a whole different debate. But, like, don't even take it into that area, because Russell Brand is the new Doctor, will become a headline everywhere. And you just want to keep the show clean for kids, you know? Yeah. It's like, don't get dragged into
it. How much do you think the last 5 years has taught you about that game and about how dangerous it is and how. Because it is, it's a dance, isn't it? With the the press can be our greatest supporters, they can also be.
Oh, absolutely. And we're guilty of using them, you know? It's like releasing photos, you know, just saying he will knock four times.
Yeah.
Just releasing that as a phrase and trying to make it sort of viral and having people pick up on it, that sort of thing, is a great part of the game. It is a dance, but it's simply dangerous if you think you've got the dance sussed.
Do you think you've got better at it as a result of.
I suppose. I mean, do you? How do you feel about that?
I don't know. It's hard, isn't it? I mean, it's the thing of wanting to be in the public eye and yet at the same time holding back secrets so that the drama works.
Yes, absolutely.
And there's a trade-off there, isn't there?
Yeah.
It's certainly been fun when we've managed to surprise people with something on screen.
Oh, that's been brilliant.
Monstrously difficult to do that, actually. Yes. And a couple of times we've pulled it off.
Once, really, wasn't it? Well, twice. Catherine Tate appearing at the end of The Runaway Bride, and then your secret regeneration at the end of The Stolen. That was amazing when we got away with something which wasn't in the public eye. It was the cliffhanger where you appeared to regenerate.
Yes.
And we ended up on the news.
That one took us by surprise. Yeah. We hadn't anticipated how big a story that was.
I think. That's true. Yes.
We just thought it was a funny,
cliffhanger. Because obviously you weren't changing.
Because obviously I wasn't changing, because we'd have announced it and all that, or somebody would have found out.
Yeah.
But people ran with it and it became It was on the Today programme.
I know. I remember watching it on Transmission, watching the end of The Stolen Earth on Transmission, and only, having seen the episode 57 times, only on Transmission did I sit there and go, oh my word, yeah. That's massive. And that's what the game plays up. Literally, we went up by 1.5 million viewers. Yeah, the next week, 2 million viewers. And that's what you want. It's made to be watched.
Was there a moment in 2005 when you thought, oh, we've got this right?
Oh, that's hard to think. No, because you know what it's like on Transmission every week. What's it like? Every Sunday morning.
Yeah.
What's the figures? What's the figures? You never relax. And I think actually that's been the key to keeping it great. Because, you know, the most frightening thing that happened was like a big one-off success at the beginning, because then you think, oh, we've got to sustain this. That's harder than doing it once. And it's my greatest delight that every year the viewing figures have gone up. Every single year. Every finale has had bigger viewing figures. But...
oh, will we pull it off this year, though?
I don't know. Maybe just three people and a dog will be watching now.
But we'll be gone. It won't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Well, I'm rolling.